Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're supposed to have an opening on this. Let me hit this here and see. Maybe something malfunctioned.
How you doing?
Okay, go ahead, James. Our opening didn't open up, so go ahead and take off of that.
Okay, go ahead. How you doing, folks? Welcome to another edition of the Local Voter Education Podcast, done here for you every Sunday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. It's facilitated for you on Blog Talk Radio. In addition, you can find this podcast and other information about Fort Worth and Tarrant County politics at fwdistrict5.com. My name is James H. McBride. I'm your host for this evening. As always, riding shotgun with me is Bob Willoughby. How you doing this evening, Bob?
Oh, doing just great, James. Just hanging in there.
To let people know there's no city council meeting this week on the 15th. There will be another one the following Tuesday on the 22nd. And I believe, if I'm correct, Bob, the citizen presentations have been moved to that meeting on the 22nd.
That's correct. So it's not a council meeting on the 22nd. It's a public comment meeting is what it is. And I'm glad you did bring that up. I do have a problem with one thing with city council this month for sure. Seeing how they only have two meetings a month, they have one at 6 and one at 10 a.m. Well, one of the most biggest issues that this city's dealing with for the last 5 years, they put it on the 10 a.m. It makes it a little harder for people to get to it. It should be on the 6 one. And that's redistricting the city. But that is the my beliefs, the reason why they put it at 10. So the most controversial things so far have always gone on the 10 o'clock one. They always go up there with the last few things. So the Atlanta Jefferson shooting and that, they moved it to the 10 o'clock one. So, and you got less people there. So I do have a quirk with that. It should be on the 6 o'clock one. It should be on the 7 o'clock one. That's where it should be at. But anyway, okay, well, there's my venting for the do. I'm through with that. You can have at it, James.
All right, thanks. I think we're going to have an exciting podcast for you this evening. Our guest tonight is going to be Kim Neal, who is the police monitor for the city of Fort Worth. Bob, do we have Kim on the line?
Let's see here. Kim,
yeah.
Do we have you
yeah.
on? Okay,
yes,
I'll tell you what, we've also got, I'm going to go ahead and open up Catherine Huckabee's line, too. She's here, and we'll have her on in case she wants to jump in or say anything. We'll have them both open, James. So,
okay, that's fine.
But you can take over from there, James.
All right, thank you. Kim, thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. If you could, please, would you start out and just introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Kim Neal. I am the Police Oversight Director and Monitor for the City of Fort Worth. It's the first time Fort Worth has created a civilian oversight office, and there's basically 3 to 4 different models of civilian oversight, and the city chose the police monitor role. And so in that, we monitor the police department. Specifically the complaints against police officers, misconduct complaints against police officers, and the administrative investigation of those complaints, as well as review their policies and procedures to ensure that they are equitable and fair. We receive commendations on police officers, and we also have a huge community engagement plan. We have some great plans for 2022 to enhance community and police relationships in the city of Fort Worth. So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I want to remind everybody, if you have any questions or comments for our guest, you can call in to 515-602-9610 and press 1 to get into queue. Again, that phone number is 515-602-9610. I want to lead off, Kim, talking about what is the breaking news here in Fort Worth, and that has to do with the last city council meeting and a manager and council resolution 22-0149, which dealt with the Homeland Security donating a Bearcat to the Fort Worth Police Department. I want to know, what are your general views on this, and more importantly, do you think this is militarizing our police in Fort Worth more?
Legislation going before council, I wasn't brought into those conversations. So I haven't really heard police departments, spiel on exactly why they thought that the Ramcat was needed. I do know that police departments across the country use those for specifically SWAT situations when they have SWAT operations, when people are in despair and they have to bring in their SWAT. And they've proven to be effective in those cases. So I'm not sure if the police department is using it for that, and particularly in assisting and making sure that community members are safe if you have a hostage situation or such as a bank robbery or anything like that. The equipment such as that has been found to be useful. If the police department is using it for anything else, I'm unaware of it.
Okay. And if you could, Kim, in your own words, what is or was your expectation of what your office was charged to do?
Well, I think the biggest thing was to give the community members a voice as it relates to policing and how the police service various communities throughout the city, and specifically in our communities that feel like that they are being policed versus served by the the communities where they feel as though they're being policed versus served by the community, to try to enhance relationships in those communities specifically, and engage police and community members in conversations. A big piece of what I believe that we were created to do was to ensure that the policies and procedures of the police department were fair and inequitable. And ensure that any encounter with a police officer that a community member has, that those policies and procedures that touch those encounters, that those policies and procedures are in fact fair to the community member. We want to make sure that our office always remains impartial, and which means that we are never going to side with the police because they are the police, and we're never going to just side with the community. We're always going to be impartial and make sure that if we make a recommendation as it relates to community or police or any type of encounter with the police, that the recommendation is fair and equitable for everybody involved. We want to be able to make sure that we are able to mediate situations, which I think in the 2 years that we've been in existence, we've done a great job at, even despite our COVID challenges and other challenges that we've had. And I think that our office was put in place to do just that, and I think we've done a good job with that as well.
In response to your answer, do you feel that you're meeting the expectations? And if so, what empirical evidence do you have of this?
So I think that one of the biggest challenges for our office has been COVID. I started in March of 2020, and COVID took effect within 2.5 weeks of my start. And as you're aware, the city shut down, and we had some challenging times in the city due to various events, as well as the unfortunate death of Mr. Floyd and Ms. Taylor, which even added additional responsibilities to our office, particularly when it came to the community. And so with those challenges, we were able to do a lot of things virtually because we were, in fact, closed down and we couldn't meet in public. And so we had more than 200, 250 community engagements and meetings virtually. And so that was our way of ensuring that hopefully that community members knew that our office exists. I think that one of the things that we could do a better job at is to be more transparent and to have ensure that those meetings going forward are face-to-face, and that's our plan for 2022, and ensure that when we have these community meetings that we're actually going into the communities that are most impacted by policing to ensure that the voices are heard and that police officers understand exactly what the community's plight is.
Kim, you have an extensive background in dealing with these issues in cities. I was wondering, what specific training do you have that makes you the visionary to do this job?
Well, training specifically, I have a number of years of training in law enforcement principles. I have a Juris Doctorate from the University of Baltimore, as well as a business degree from Georgetown University. Before I came to the city of Fort Worth, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I actually ran an office similar to the office here in Fort Worth, but we took it a step further and we actually conducted separate administrative investigations of police officers along with internal affairs. And then before that, I had years of training in misconduct investigations and compliance investigations, and I have over 20 years experience, probably over 25 years experience in conducting misconduct investigations of government employees as a whole, whether they, I've worked at the local level, the state, federal level, as well as in private industry. And, you know, the gist of what I do at the end of the day is to ensure that if that we as representatives of the taxpayers are doing the best job that we can, that we do them ethically and morally correct, and that's what we do in our office of the police monitor.
When we look at the way everything's set up currently right now, it's heavy with community activists. I was wondering, have you involved any social scientists to examine this issue, or do you think community activists are going to be the problem solvers here?
Well, we've talked to community activists. We talked to academia, some of which are social scientists. And so we've involved a diverse group of people. We've involved also stakeholders of organizations that are have been dealing with these issues for years across the country, such as ACLU and NAACP. And then we have LULAC as well in the city of Fort Worth and for the state of Texas. And so we've dealt with a pretty diverse group, not just social scientists. We've also dealt with social workers. We've also dealt with our clergy community. And so we've dealt with a very diverse group that I think can assist us with enhancing those relationships.
Kim, how do you believe this issue relates to social science?
Well, I think that from a social science standpoint, we have to look at, I think you mentioned this earlier, we have to look at the data, the empirical data that where, you know, we can actually look at stops, we can look at encounters with police officers, we can look at whether they are against a certain segment of the population more than they're against another segment of the population or demographic of the population. We can also look at what types of encounters that they are, and we can look at the outcome of those encounters. And so those are some of the things that our office is going to get more involved in 2022 and going forward, to look at that empirical data to show if there are any patterns that we need to take a look at and improve on when it comes to making recommendations to the police department.
Do you have any timeline in this year when that data will be released to the public for them to study too?
Well, our first attempt is going to be the release of our annual report, which hopefully will be within the next month. We decided to combine it instead of doing one for 2020 and one for 2021. I had some staffing challenges, and so as a result, we're going to combine it and make a biannual report, and that will be our first attempt at showing some data. Now, of course, each year, as our staff hopefully gets a slightly bigger, and we're able to work with departments like the Planning and Data Analytics Department, we're able to dive more into the data so that each year that annual reporting process, and not just annual, but periodic reporting process, we can provide more data as it relates to those encounters. One of the things that we've done recently, and we were able to accomplish, it took some time for us to get there and working with our IT department, is to create a complaint form, which is one of the things we did initially in 2020, but we were able to automate it. And from that complaint form, we're tracking certain fields in that complaint form to then be dumped into a database so that we can run queries and so forth. And so IT is in the middle of trying to finalize that database. So specifically what month this year, I'm not sure. The complaint form is up and running. But specifically where we are with the database piece, I'm still waiting on IT to give me a thumbs up for that. But that will be in 2022, I'm sorry.
I would remind everybody, if you've got a question or comment for our guest tonight, you can always call into 515-602-9610. Again, the phone number is 515-602-9610. Bob, before we open up the phone lines, I want to kick it over to you and see if you have anything you'd like to ask.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Kim, thank you for coming on so much.
Absolutely.
I hate to say not take anything from you, but in this city, just coming on a show puts you miles ahead of a lot of people here, okay? So I appreciate it. But what I want to ask was, I'll tell you the truth. My major questions are to city council and mayor that we don't get responses. So this is where I have a problem with our oversight committee, too, because we're giving you data to give to the same people that I have a problem with for not answering questions, so I don't feel comfortable there, that we're getting anywhere at the end of the day. This is no reflection on you in any way. I think you're doing a great job. I think from what I heard so far, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind being a city manager. But anyway, this is where I have a problem with that.
No,
but...
no, sir, no city manager here. I appreciate that, though.
Okay, and I'll tell you what I would – okay. Well, I would – here's my point, and let me finish that here real quick before taking my idea. I'd like to see this abolished. So this all came about during the Jacqueline Craig case. And when I went to the meetings,
sir.
And we had the city manager there. And what we asked for, we don't get. We get what they give us and say, be happy with that. And one of the things is we understand you don't have no power. The officers' names aren't written down. And one thing I'd want to ask you is any way to convert where you could have more power and more so that when they go before you, that we don't have to count on city council. And the other thing is one reason I'd like it about, well, let me step back a step further. If we have a good mayor in a city and a good city manager, there may not be a need for any oversight committee, which would say the taxpayer is over $600,000 in this case, may not be a need one for because a city manager holds chiefs and directors as responsible for their job to do it right and replaces those with people who do it right, then I'd like to see how that works first. And then if we see it would be helpful to have one, that would be great. But here's another problem I have. Why do we just single out the police? It needs to cover code compliance, development, and any employee of the city. We need something to blanket the city. I don't believe it's right to single out one department like this, magnifying it, while code compliance is doing what it's doing. So that's where I have a problem, too. But in either case, I'd like for you to stay on and be in charge of it. I think you're doing an excellent job. But that's two things I wanted to get off. But also, one question here for you that I think you can answer. How was the staff selected for this for your committee?
Okay, so right now we don't have a committee. That's one of the things that we have an office, but we don't have a committee. But the city council is looking at creating a committee, which would be a board of citizens that would do the same thing, similar to what our office would do, or whatever the council decides.
Well, I see five people under staff. That's what I was getting. There's five people under staff, it shows here.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, how were they, do you know how they were selected by any chance?
Yes. So we have five people on staff, and so they were, it was an open recruitment, open competitive recruitment that was put out. I think initially when we first started to recruit, we kept it internal within the city because we had some challenges with COVID. From a financial standpoint, and so like many cities across the country, a lot of cities weren't hiring externally at that time. But then once those restrictions were lifted, we then had an open recruitment externally throughout the city of Fort Worth and pretty much nationally. And so those folks were chosen to be the most qualified candidates as it relates to the duties that their position description needed from them.
Okay, you say by open recruitment, I'm just wondering if that was through the City News, City Times, or I'm not exactly sure how open, because I'm sure they'd never even hear of it. I'm pretty much involved, more involved than they want me to be, I think. But I never did hear of them selecting people. I must have missed it.
No, we use the HR department just like, you know, any other position that nobody was picked separately without open recruitment. Every position in my department was an open recruitment. Yes, sir.
And it went to kind of like HR, like hiring for a job or permits, right? Is that right?
Yes,
right.
It was posted by
HR
and it was recruited by HR. Yes, sir.
And, I don't really want to put you on the spot because other things I made were more or less statements, and I don't want to put you on the spot with those statements. I just want you to know how I feel about the whole thing. And that, but anyway, I appreciate you coming on the show and taking your time to do this. Is what we need more than ever is people to do this, is to come on and talk to us, okay? Because that's what we're really starving for, is people to, you know, answer questions. And it's the hardest thing in this city to get that. And so anyway, I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, our phone lines are lighting up quite a bit. But before we go through those, I'm going to give it back to James and see what else he has to follow up on. And I think it's coffee time for me for a minute. I'm sorry.
May
go
I
ahead,
just,
Kim.
May I just comment one thing?
Sure.
You mentioned about police officers' information being released. So we have a state code that for local governments, and we have a state some state code sections in local government section of the state code that pretty much talks about investigations of police officers and what information is releasable and what information isn't releasable. So we have, and this is true for other civilian oversight agencies throughout Texas. They are my peers, and so we talk often, Dallas and Austin and Houston. And so we all have the same challenges as it relates to what information can be released and what information can't be released. But I just wanted, you know, to make sure you understood.
So your
that
hands are kind
much of that
tied
is
there.
Yeah,
your
much
hands
of that
are
is regulated
kind of
by
like,
state code.
Okay,
yes,
by the
sir.
State code there. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got you on that. I might as well hit you with this real quick. Why aren't we covering, I mean, this might be, there again, I think a city council. But I don't understand why we're covering one department in the city and not other departments that badly need to be looked at, like code compliance. Or what is your opinion? Do you think we should open up to everybody? Do you have any problem with that?
I mean, I have no problem with that. If you know, the community, I think it's up to the community. And I think if the community feels that there is a need for that, then I definitely think
definitely
that
is.
Should happen. Yeah, one of the things that we see in the world of civilian oversight of law enforcement is, for example, we're seeing a whole nother area of it advance, which is over our jails, which I can tell you when civilian oversight was created in the early 1900s, late 1800s, that wasn't the case. It was always about police and to ensure that policing wasn't corrupt. So it's advanced now just recently within the last maybe 15 years where now you have civilian oversight of our jail system because of some of the issues that we've had with jail systems. So the ideas that you raise are ideas that I haven't heard of as of yet in the various cities that across the country that have civilian oversight. But clearly it's an area that could possibly be potentially an area that can be looked at some point in time because we've seen it done with the jail system.
You did tap on one thing just then. You said about, I know the city does this a lot, and a lot of people who do this, they'll go back to what other cities are doing. Well, I think it's good to refer to what other cities are doing, but at the end of the day, the other cities don't live here, and they don't pay the taxes here. And our council members use that all the time, too. I'm not saying you're using that. Anything. I'm just saying it's a good thing to go to.
Right.
But as far as our code compliance and as far as the citizens get to say, we don't have a say. Our council does it all. And that's why.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got more documents on my I've got a file for code compliance here. And it's just unbelievable. And I've helped three. As a matter of fact, there's a video on my website at fwdistrict5.com on the our independent oversight committee that we made up. And it shows three cases. And code compliance goes after the low income, the handicap, and the senior citizens. All three that we were helping, that's what their category they fell into. And we did stop three tickets from going out, actually, and I was proud of that. But we don't have the money to be reached by everybody out there, you know. I just get by through word of mouth here. But nevertheless, we do need – I just don't like one organization being sorted out and the other one just being ignored, you know. And I guess you can understand that. But come on, move on. I need to change the decaf coffee. Sometimes I talk too much. So I'm going to move on here and let James take it back over and see where we're going from there. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Before we open up the phone lines, Kim, I've got another question for you. I was wondering, have you looked at the training the officers received through the academy? And if you haven't, do you plan on it or do you not plan on it? And if you have looked at it, do you have any recommendations to change?
Yes, we have not only looked at it, we've actually had some of our employees within our office actually go in and sit in on the training. just to see what officers are receiving, both at the recruit level as well as at the in-service, what we call the existing officers. We call that in-service training. We continue to, you know, emphasize, and the department's doing a good job at it, but we continue to emphasize de-escalation training in our uses of force, and we continue to emphasize intervention when needed, which is a hot topic that came out of the George Floyd situation. And so those are two of our key points when it comes to the police department and its training. But we continue to work with the police department to ensure that their training and their policies and procedures as it relates to what the officers are taught, that officers understand, you know, how they should treat citizens and ensure that they are allowing citizens to be heard and be fair. I'm not saying that it's a sure-proof system. We still continue to work with the department in some areas, but I think the two biggest areas are we continue to emphasize isolation and intervention.
Bob, you can go ahead and open up the phone lines.
Okay, then let's open up and call her at 2286.
Hello.
All right, you're on the
2286.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes.
I have a question, because our police officers do need to be respected, but how are they going to do that in the community when crime is ignored and we cannot get back to right is good and bad is bad? It's appalling to have all these blue cities and these red states and go into them, which I was born and raised in San Antonio, lived in Austin, lived in Houston, now in Fort Worth, and the crime is outrageous. And nothing is being addressed by the mayors. It's all silent. And then you blame it on an ethnic group, that it's really about breaking the law and awarding doing bad. And you're never going to have a society that's going to be in a community that's safe, raising a family, when you're constantly going about the race or the color. And I am sick and tired of targeting any color, any person, any age, and discriminating against anybody. And it doesn't get back to what it should be. And I'm sorry, Betsy Price did not do a good job. And I've been here 20 years and seen nothing but higher crime and awarding people stealing from Walmart, stealing from Home Depot, stealing from CVS. And the police officers do need respect. And I don't know what's going to make the change, because open up a committee, open up, you know, investigation. We all know where the problem is. I sell real estate, and everyone from the lower income to the multi-million. And it's just got to stop. And she's done a great job. I congratulate Kim. I've watched her. But I've got police officer clients. I'm raising money for them. I'm raising money because why? Because Fort Worth won't give the money to the police officers to do their job, nor do they do in Keller, nor do they do in Grapevine. And I'm giving money to them because they won't give the budgeted money to our officers. Do you think that's right? Absolutely not. And that is the kept secret. And a city manager would be someone who would probably help, but I don't know. So I'd like her thoughts on that.
One of the things our office isn't tasked with is crime prevention and so forth. We really try to work on enhancing those relationships. But, you know, I think many folks in the community, in our communities do some, you know, it depends on who you talk to. Some people absolutely support the police. I live in the city, and the police department, the Fort Worth Police Department, is my police department as well. And so I have a vested interest both as the police oversight director, but also as a citizen of Fort Worth, because this is my police department as well. And so I definitely, want to help facilitate any time there's crime prevention. I know one of the things that the police talk about a lot is working with the community to solve crimes. And so they wish a lot of community members would work with them more when it comes to solving crimes. And so if there's any way that our office can facilitate and help in that process, even though that's not what we're primarily tasked to do, we do try to do that. We often get calls sometimes about folks that have information, and we will share that information with the police department. I do think that the state of policing in this country is one that has a lot of challenges. And I think that from what we can tell, and this is in Fort Worth as well as other major cities across the country and cities of Fort Worth size and bigger, is that policing has changed considerably. There are a lot of issues that are amongst us that we have to deal with. We have the homelessness population that we want to make sure are safe and healthy. We have a huge, particularly, if I can say it, post-COVID, even though I don't know if we're completely at post-COVID yet, but we have a huge community that is starting to have mental health challenges. And so our police officers are often called to handle a lot of issues that they may not be the best persons trained in those various areas, although they have received some training. And so I think what we have to do as a city and what the police department has to do and what my office has to do is we have to reinvent and try to address a lot of these issues that we're not used to dealing with. And one of my biggest concerns is the mental health community. And so I see a lot of challenges there, and I think we have to work really hard at forming networks of community members and government leaders to try to address some of those issues. So I fully support what you're saying, ma'am, and, whatever our office can do to help facilitate anything as it relates to crime prevention, we could try our best to do that. So I thank you for your comment.
Well, it starts with the law. Nobody's abiding by the law. You've got big government that's making these sanctuary city laws, which targets our police officers. These police officers don't know when they're coming home, if they come home, and they're not respected. I'm furious, even at the elementary school, middle school, high school. I hear a lot about this, and where I'm not going to tell you anymore personally. However, I have had a celebration of life, kids in Fort Worth, kids in Grapevine that were targeted by drugs. They hung themselves. You're not going to hear it in the public. But I hear it from the police officers, and they wear that every night. And here we got these laws, and you don't have the mayor, you don't have your governor, you don't even have your commissioner's level coming out and saying, we need to change this. We've got to have laws that would put the bad people behind and make the laws really horrific for them to continue and to stop. Do you understand what we've got in middle school and high school in the neighborhoods right now? In the affluent neighborhoods, we have kids running up into the doorway of people's homes and back kicking them and shutting them down and tearing out their front door. This is middle school and high school in affluent areas. This is what they see on these shows. And then we've got these liberal policies in the schools and these teachers and this university. If I was running that police department, let me tell you something. I would make a governance ordinance where we get into those universities and we handcuff, literally by policy, you're fired. You continue, knocking down our police officers, knocking down our Back the Blue and our heroes. They need to be penalized for poisoning our children and our community. And there's nothing on the books for that. They're praying for it.
Caller, can I get here in just a second? Can I get in here?
Sure.
I hate to interrupt you. Just for a minute. I just want to interrupt you just for a second here and touch basically on one thing. I understand where you're coming from, and I agree a lot what you're saying there. And I understand there's a problem, but we got to get to the root of the problem. And I believe the root of the problem, one thing is what's happening is that I believe we're probably over 300 police understaff, is what I understand, or more.
Absolutely,
and,
they are.
And that causes problems. It puts pressure on them. It makes a difficult job even more difficult. You couldn't imagine. But now, here's what I'm working on, and I don't mean to take away the show here, Cam, or whatever, get off track here too much from yours, but if you don't mind, we'll change it just a little bit. But what I'm working at is that I just realized the police officers pay dues to a police association, which gives hundreds of thousands of dollars to these dishonest council members who stay in office,
that's
which
correct.
Does understaff and not doing our money right, okay? So I'm
that's
trying to get
correct.
The word out now to the police chief to ask them to modify the association to quit using money buying candidates.
That's
I've
right.
seen this, and I've got plenty of, and it's very, very, it's like Al Capone, Chicago type stuff, and we need to get this out of here. And I guess after Kim hears everything on this show, she may want to leave. I hope not, because we need her. She's going to find out she's on the minority side, if it's a good side, and that, but we need her. I mean, I think she's a great person coming on the show, and she's a big help, so I'm hoping that this kind of gives an idea of what's going on in the city, too, and it might help them what they're doing, too, what they're doing. But anyway, well, that's what I'm just now starting to approach the police, because I don't even think they know where their money's going to. Some of them don't even know, you know. So
the
I
money,
know that.
Police officers don't know where their money's going to. They're
they don't know where that association's going.
To
that does good things.
No,
it does do
not.
Good things for
and
them,
I just raised,
and we need that.
Right, and
okay.
I just raised money for the fire department to give back to them, and I was shocked to find out that they were buying their own equipment with their money. I go, you're kidding me.
No. Now, the Firefighter Association does the same thing, but now James Davis has been a great fire chief since he's been in. He's really exposed some stuff and done some great stuff. But the Firefighter Association does the same thing with candidates. They take that money and buy candidates. So, but we're going to work on the police first, and if the police can get converted from that and get that out of the association, I believe the firefighters will drop quickly, too, and I believe James Davis is a really great fire chief. But I'm going to let you get back and get back on topic. I got too far off topic here and that. And have you got a direct question, though, that involves the monitor oversight? That's what Kim's on here for, to answer questions. And I know we gave her every problem in the city to deal with, and maybe we'll get her to deal with all of them for us before it's over with. But if we can stay on focus on what's with the site that you need to know or ask her, go ahead. I'll call.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I have one last question. And it's going to cause more crime for the police officers, and all of us need to start praying tonight. And I'm very serious about this. This new law that I'm sure Kim knows about is that Joe Biden wants to have our guns confiscated, and our senator signed it. So under that $1.5 trillion. Ominous bill they just signed in the heat of the night. They're going to start hiring the sheriff's department and the police department to go after our Second Amendment rights and confiscate the guns. It is in that bill. Are you shocked?
And get back on here. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it may be in that bill or whatever, but I think, you know what, that's all right with me. We're going to need something to wake people up. We're going to need something to make them start fighting. I'm afraid we're going to have to hit the bottom before we're going to get up again. I think it's so bad out there. I mean, you know, everybody talks about the Second Amendment, but our mayor here in Fort Worth took away our First Amendment, our right to speak, which is even more so. I think we're, and it's not really raising people up down there with pitchforks and torches as they would 30 years ago that someone did that, but I think we're just going to have to hit the bottom and get people wake up because I don't know. I understand what you're saying, Carl. I understand that. And it is kind of worrying, but I can't see Texans. I think it's going to be a fight if they give up their guns. I know that. But anyway, we'll just have to take one day at a time, take some here local, and just start working on our local issues first and see what we can get done, at least here locally, try to do something at home. So
that does affect us locally. John Cornyn signed it.
Okay.
John
well, I mean, our local. What I'm trying to get is our local government with our police monitor side, our mayor, our council, something that we can go down. And do. I can't reach John Cornyn; he's just too far away, you know. And all those out there are just too far away. But here at home, we can make a difference right here, just starting at home. I'm really not paying attention outside of here, Harley. The whole place may have a nuclear war. I'll be the last one to know it. But I got my head just buried right here at home because it needs so much attention. And we can do something here at home. You can go downtown and face the mayor, at least. You can go down there and say something. That's better because you can't never go to John Corden's. I don't mean, well, I guess you could. I don't know. But anyway.
I have. And you can go to Tampa.
Okay. But anyway, we're going to get off that topic there and get back to the.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate your call very much. And that's the whole idea is to let you talk and let you ask questions and share stuff here. Okay. That's the whole idea of the show, too.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate you.
Thank you. And James? Are you still there? Did you take a nap or have a cup of coffee or what?
I'm still here. I am still here. Jim, the last caller made me really think. Our officers that protect us here in this community, they have to face a lot of horrible stuff on a day-in, day-out basis.
Yeah.
I was wondering, does the city of Fort Worth have a full-time psychologist for them to talk to about this? Or what kind of mental health program do they have?
Yes, the police department has a psychologist that the officers can talk to, and they also have what they call a peer support program, as well as an early intervention program, which basically helps looks at certain thresholds, and if the thresholds are met, then they reach out to the officer to see if there is any issues going on with the officer, try to get it before it gets worse, to try to address the situation before it gets worse, kind of like the broken windows theory. And so, yeah, so they have several mechanisms in place for the officers if they're having some challenges or if they need some help at any point in time.
Bob, do we have another phone call?
Well, James, we had a few on the line, but now we just got listeners is what we got, I guess. Just listeners now. I think some of the questions may have gotten answered along the way. So that answer your question? Okay. So.
Yeah, that answers my question.
Okay.
Jim, I was wondering.
Yeah, they were a little while ago for the hands were up, and they kind of went back down to we do have listeners in. So go ahead.
Okay.
Well, you know we had that time change challenge, so people are – people lost an hour.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm definitely feeling that time change today. Jim, I was wondering, it looks like a lot of the stuff that you're doing right now seems to be specific responses to incidents that have happened inside the city here. Do you think that this vision you have is just going to be responses to stuff, or are we going to see a proactive arm come out of this?
No, I think we've been proactive. When we first started and folks were still learning, and frankly, community members are still learning about our office, I would never profess to say that all communities in Fort Worth are aware of our office, but we did try to do a progressive community engagement initially. But we've done some very proactive things with the community and police department as it relates to trying to get kind of our finger on the pulse of what the situation was, especially particularly in 2020. And that's why we had so many community engagements and meetings with various community groups and community stakeholders. So one of the things we did early in 2020, and we're going to do it again this year as well, is we did a survey of the community, and then we did a separate survey of the police department. And we had some pretty good responses about the community and how they felt about the police department, but also how they felt about city government as well, and as well as the police department, how they felt about policing in our communities as well as the government as well. And so we took those topics, those key topics that came out, and we did, again, this was during COVID, so it was virtual, but we did a police community engagement where we actually did a breakout sessions for police and community members, and we tried to get them in the same zip code so they would hopefully be in the same police division. The idea is to get to know one another, but also talk about issues and kind of work on issues together. And so out of those sessions came some great dialogue between community members and police. We heard overwhelmingly from community that they wanted more of those. And so out of those sessions, too, came recommendations from the community that were shared with the police as well. And so we hope to do more of those in 2022 this year. Catherine is on the line. So, Catherine, did you want to talk anything about that?
I think that it would be extremely helpful if your audience would visit our website at fortworthtexas.gov/OPOM. We just put an article in City News and throughout the media about our community engagement plan that that we are putting out. What we would like to have is as many neighbors respond to the survey on our website and be willing to partner with us to help plan these community engagements. So we're planning on doing just the basic community collaborations where we're face-to-face having conversations with community members about their experiences and any of the challenges that they may be experiencing or even successes that they want to share. But then we also want to do more community and police conversations. Again, like Kim talked about before, we felt like those community police conversations that we held, although they were virtual, those are probably some of the most productive meetings that we've been a part of because it really put everyone in another person's set of shoes and allowed them to see things from a different vantage point. So we want to continue that. We're also going to be doing a survey this summer again, and then we're going to be doing some faith-based conversations with our faith-based leaders as well. But it all begins with having the community partner with us to tell us when is going to be the best time, where should we hold these meetings and these conversations, and how often should we get together with the community, because one of the most important things that our office is trying to do is to open up those lines of communication between neighbors, the greater community, and the police department.
I'm going to pose this question to both of you. The last time I had read, Kim, you said that you wanted to have the police oversight board up and running by the spring of this year. We're at spring right now. Are we on track or are we off track?
We're a little off track. Originally when I talked to the council about the board, well, first of all, let me just say that the city before our office was even created, we had this task force of race and culture who recommended civilian oversight for the city. They recommended a board or an alternative form of civilian oversight, and so the city created the monitor's office. And so the board concept didn't go away, but basically it was one in which once we got our office up and running, we knew we would revisit again. And so we went to council, and we recommended that we create a working group of community members to talk about what the board should look like. That was the previous council. And so now we have a new council with some new council members, and we had to do a complete briefing, again, with those council members, as well as I met individually with the various council members as well. And so we fell a little off track, I think, with the transition in council. And so now it's back on the table again. The council members are, I guess, deciding which way they are on the issue, because I frankly don't know where they all are, stand on the issue. Some have been very vocal about where they stand, and others have not. And so it definitely will hopefully go to council this spring. I think that's the plan. But, you know, they plan their agenda, and so whenever they're ready for me to come back to council to talk about the recommendation of the work group, then we will definitely bring that back to the council to talk about it. And I believe that it will still happen this spring.
Hi, Jim.
You talk about it. You talk about in your office you want to have more in community engagement, and that's one thing you think you're lacking a little bit of. How can you get more in community engagement? Does it mean you need to put more dollars into advertising, or is there something else you're trying to do to get this message out there?
Well, the reason why I said I said that we needed to be a little bit more transparent is because we were only able to do virtual initially. And so the idea is if we lived in a non-COVID world, when we started in 2020, you know, we started out meeting with the community the first week I started. But then COVID hit, and we had to go virtual. And so when I say that, I mean that my preference is to meet folks face-to-face and to have these face-to-face dialogues with community members and as well as the police. We had to push that off. And so now that we hopefully are in a better time from a health standpoint, we will do face-to-face engagements in 2022. So that's what I meant by that, where we need more work because we want to be face-to-face in those engagements.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
James.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering if we're getting close to the end of the show here, and we do have another caller here with a hand up. I'd like to get him on there and give him a few minutes before we run out of time here. So is that okay with you? We ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, let's see. Okay. You're on. Go ahead.
Y'all can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I was sitting up listening to the lady talk about transparency and community engagement. And my name is Charleston White, and I have a complaint against a Fort Worth police officer. Well, I went through the steps as a regular citizen. But because there's a personal bias or political reasons, I was ignored. It wasn't until I reached out to some people from Washington, D.C., and the people from Washington, D.C. reached out to the mayor's office. Other than that, I had no access to an oversight committee, the police oversight committee. During my questioning with the oversight committee, the city manager intercepted. The city manager still has some say-so, right? So the city manager is a part of the extension of the police department. So the oversight committee is governed by the same people that they say they have oversight over, right? So with this same officer, no one's being transparent. This investigation has been drug on. From what I was told, everybody was hoping that I would just drop it and let it go. Everything is pointing in a direction of that this officer has done wrong. City council members are aware of this. The FBI is aware of this. The Department of Justice is aware of this. But this officer still sits in a high-ranking position and is being pretty much the oversight committee is protecting this officer. So I'm telling you this from a personal experience. Talking to Miss Kim O'Neill or whatever her name is, I went through all the steps that they sitting here championing about, and I'm telling you, it's a dog and pony show. It's straight BS. That officer is still working. No one has reached out to me and told me anything. There's no communication. There's been no engagement. There's been more barriers placed in my way to try to file a complaint against an officer. And I'm one of the people, I'm one of the only black people in this community who have 100% supported the Fort Worth Police Department in all their endeavors, right, wrong, or ugly. I have stood by their side. So if I'm a person who's been back in the blue, I'm the person who they've used to teach procedural justice, if they'll do me like this, I can only imagine the dumb, poor citizen who don't know the people I know.
Hey, Charles. Charles, let me step in just one second.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the call in, and I know this is a kind of a complicated case, and I know you do have an issue and no problem at all. You have something that does need to be looked at, okay, Charles?
It's not complicated. What I'm saying
is
the process
is the oversight. Charles,
we sat up and listened to you talk the whole time, Bob. Unless you want to shape the narrative. What I'm saying is the process of going through the oversight committee is complete BS. All that community engagement and transparency, I'm telling you this is one of the most actively involved political black people in Young. So, man, that's straight BS.
I think you think I'm going to go the wrong way here. Give me a chance to finish, Charles.
I don't think you're going nothing, Bob. We sat here and listened to you talk the whole time. All I'm saying, all you had to do was just say, thank you, Charleston, and you have a good day, and then I'll turn my ass. But you ain't got to rebut it, man. God damn, that's all I'm saying.
I'm not rebutting it, Charles. I'm just going to say, call on the city website, call Kim. She'll return a call to you. Those other people don't, but she will. That's all I was going to say, Charles. You okay? You still there, or did you go? He might have went. I don't know. Well, anyway, I appreciate Charles calling in.
I can just offer some comment.
Mr. White did file a complaint with our office, and so the way our process works, and you know, maybe we, you know, it's my understanding that we explained it to him, but maybe I need to explain it to him directly. But the way the process works is when a community member files a complaint with our office, we then review the complaint, make sure we have enough information, and then we don't do separate investigations. That's not the form of civilian oversight that we have in the city of Fort Worth. What we do is we send the complaint to the police department, who does the administrative investigation. Once they and we can monitor the process, but once they complete their administrative investigation and they have a recommendation, we then review their investigation to ensure that it's diligent and fair. And so Mr. White has a pending complaint with our office, but we await PD's administrative investigation of the complaint. And then once that is completed, then we'll take a look at it to see if the investigation was done diligently. And then we will then communicate with Mr. White and talk about what our recommendations are, if any, regarding PD's complaint. PD should also be communicating with Mr. White on the results of their investigation as well. And so right now his complaint is still in a pending status because we await PD's completed investigation. So it's not that we have closed anything. It's not that we have nobody's talked to us about not looking at Mr. White's complaint. Nobody's talked to us about any issues that are of concern to Mr. White. So I'm sorry that he feels that way, but we are simply just waiting on PD to complete their investigation.
Kim, is there a timeline that they have to complete this investigation in?
Well, we generally give them up to 90 days, but they never take – let me just say, in the 2 years I've been here, they've never taken 90 days. It's usually much less than that. The idea, though, is that if the complaint to if there is a sustained finding against an officer per state law, the disciplinary action, if there is a sustained finding, has to occur within 6 months of the incident. So if the complaint is involving an incident, if a complaint is involving an incident that's outside of those 180 days or 6 months, it doesn't mean it won't be investigated. It can still be looked at, but there can't be any disciplinary action against the officer for the incident because it's outside of the 180 days. And that is state law. That is not city law. And so that's why we always tell the complainant if it's within those 180 days, we'll tell a complainant, and we do this verbally as well as via a letter, that we give the police department up to 90 days to complete. Now, if the complaint is about an incident that happened outside of the 180 days, we let the complainant know that even if there is a sustained finding, that there can be no disciplinary action against the officer. And we ask the complainant, do they still want us to move further with sending their complaint over to the PD? Because we can still look at it from a procedural concern, you know, to ensure that the policies and procedures that are related to that complaint were done fair and equitably, even though an officer can't be held accountable for his or her action.
Kim, I want to thank you for coming on the podcast tonight and answering our questions. It's gave me a great insight about what your office is doing, and I hope other people have got a good insight into this too, and I hope we can continue this conversation at a further time.
Absolutely. I appreciate you both for having me, and Catherine as well.
Thank you very much, Kim, for coming on. I appreciate that. And
Thank you.
We don't have anything scheduled for the next few weeks. And James, you have anything to say before we go here?
Yeah, Bob, I just want to thank you for letting me come on and host this podcast for the last 10 months, and especially I want to thank all the people that tuned in to listen to me these last 10 months. It means more to me than anything in the world. I'm ready to move on and take on some other endeavors. So, Bob, don't take out your napkin and cry on it, because I think I'll be back talking to you pretty soon.
I think I'm going on holiday till you come back. So, no, anyway, we'll see how it goes. Good luck in your new endeavors, too, there. And I want to thank Kim and Catherine for being on our show, our callers and that. And we'll be scheduling some stuff next month here. I'm not sure what, but... But we're going to keep the show going. It's a big help to our citizens out there, okay? So thank you, and thank everybody for being on tonight, and thank you, James, for hosting.
Yeah. May God bless each and every one of you in the great city of Fort Worth, Texas. Good night, folks.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.